Well, the excitement is growing. It's even palpable. You can even see it all around us with these beautiful decorations that have been placed in our parish church. A reminder that what we've said in the bulletin and in the newsletter about the shift that the church makes in its emphasis in its liturgical year about the 17th of December. On that day, we have, prior to that day, rather, we've been looking ahead. We've been anticipating the coming of Christ at the end of time when everything will be fulfilled and the kingdom of God will be here in its fullness. But suddenly, on the 17th, we shift, and then we look back. We look back into time, and we call to our memory that first coming of Christ as a tiny baby, as one like us, just like us in all things but sin. And so it is that we are now focused on that remembrance on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve when we tell the story again of Jesus' birth. It even begins today. The Gospel of Matthew, as it says, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. So it's very clear that we've already turned our attention from the future to the past. But the reality is we don't live in the future or the past. We live right now, in the present. So we have to ask, what does this have to say to us who are here, gathered here, in this place, at this time, at this moment? And so, we hear from the Gospel of Matthew about a man. This man's name is Joseph. Matthew describes him in such a way as we get a sense of who this man is. The words are simple enough. It says that he was a righteous man. Well, that's a freighted word. It has a lot more meaning to it than simply he was a good person. For a righteous man in the time of this story means someone who understands the Torah, understands the law of God, the law of Moses as it was handed down on Mount Sinai and written down into those books we call the first five books of our Bible, particularly in the book of Exodus, and we hear more about it in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and so on. The laws that had been laid down through the synagogue and temple practice for centuries are all expected to be kept. And if one tries one's best to learn and to keep those laws, then you are credited as being righteous. And so, when Matthew is describing Joseph as a righteous man, he's saying that Joseph is somebody who gets it, who understands the law of God and tries to live it out completely. But you see, that's the difficulty now that Matthew faces, because he just got this news. News that Mary, his betrothed, is telling him that she is with child. You have to understand, too, the system of getting married in those days. You know, we've talked often enough about how where the place of women was in the time of the scriptures. Women really didn't have much status in society. In fact, you had to be with a man in order to even survive. And so when you were growing up and you were a young woman, you were of your father's household. And then you were betrothed to another man, and it was during that period of time, usually about a year or so, that the negotiations happened about the dowry and about all of the kinds of things that happened in those days in order to make a marriage legal. So these two were betrothed. That's why they were not yet living together. They essentially were, in modern language, engaged. but they did not live together. And so what would happen is all of this negotiating would go on, and eventually Mary would be handed over like a piece of property from one man to another, from her father to Joseph. But you see, the problem is, she's not there yet. And something has happened that could mix up the whole thing. She is found to be with child. Now, what that means is, because she was legally betrothed to Joseph, that meant that what she essentially did, or what the obvious thing conclusion would be, was that she committed adultery. That she was not faithful to the promises made in the betrothal, and that she was with another man. Now, Joseph, we said, was a righteous man. What that means, really, is that he has to carry out the law of God. And in that day and age, as harsh as it may seem, the punishment for adultery was to be stoned in the public square. Our scripture lesson today in the gospel sanitizes all of that up. It says that Joseph did not want her to face public disgrace. Well, that's kind of a modern understanding of it, perhaps. But it was a lot more serious than that. It wasn't simply everybody talking about you and maybe shunning you. No, this was actually a life and death situation. And maybe, just maybe, it wasn't a mere transaction that was going on here. Maybe Joseph really had deep and abiding affection for Mary, and he could not bring himself to do this. That in his heart of hearts, he's thinking, this is too harsh. God can't want this. And so he is struggling to try to figure this all out. See, you get none of that in the story. It's all packed into that word, he was righteous. And then, you see, so he goes to bed, he goes to sleep with all of this going on in his head. And suddenly, an angel comes to him in the dream. An angel. Oh, there they go again, all those angels. This time of year, they're everywhere. Actually, you know, we have the creche. It's empty now, of course, because it's not yet Christmas. The manger, the crib, whatever we call it, the statues will appear kind of magically at the family service at 5 o'clock. Mother Mary will have everybody sort of bring them up and place them in the right place there. And, you know, the story unfolds. And what we do, though, when we tell that story is we kind of mix it all up. We push two different stories together. You see, because there's the story in Luke, which is what we recall on Christmas Eve, usually, that's the story of angels flying everywhere saying, glory to God in the highest. We just heard how an angel appeared to Mary and had a conversation with her. And all this is going on. That's all the Gospel of Luke. You don't see any wise men in the Gospel of Luke. There are no magi in the Gospel of Luke. No, in Matthew, on the other hand, you don't see any shepherds at all. You don't see sheep or any of that kind of stuff. But you do hear about angels. And interestingly, the angels don't appear. They don't all of a sudden, there they are. Now, in Matthew's gospel, angels come to us in dreams. There's a reason for that, I think. We have to think about that a little bit. When are we most vulnerable? But when we're asleep. Can't protect ourselves when we are asleep. That's why we make sure the doors are locked and everything is taken care of, all the switches are in the right place, all, you know, the stove is turned off, all that kind of stuff, because when we're asleep, we are totally vulnerable. And maybe that's when God thinks he can best communicate with us, when we can't have our defenses up. So as Joseph is sleeping, he can't even argue with God because he's asleep, and he gets this dream. Now, psychologists in our day and age kind of tell us something about dreams. They say that dreams really are not about whatever it is we're dreaming about, nor is it about anybody else, even though another person may appear in the photograph picture that's going on in our mind during all this time, but rather it is telling us something about ourselves. That our dreams actually communicate to us about who we are, what we're made of, what our values are, what our conflicts are. And so maybe Joseph went to sleep and he's got all of this running around in his mind. What am I going to do? I can't possibly marry this woman. Everybody will be able to figure it out. And I can't possibly subject her to the strictures of this harsh law, the rigor of this law, which is going to cost her life. I can't do that. Goes to bed with this on his mind. And in a dream, when he's most vulnerable, God speaks to him. And an angel says, Joseph, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. All of us have experienced it along the way. When we get some sudden news that disrupts all of our plans, you know, we had our 5-year plan, our 10-year plan going out, and then all of a sudden, someone gets very sick. Sometimes it's even ourselves. And we can't even think about, a week away, much less 5 years away. And when we're like that, we can get very fearful. We can get very afraid. Or perhaps it's, I've had a good job all this time, and suddenly it's announced that my company is closing, and I don't have a job anymore in a week or so. Boy, we can get very afraid. Or someone that we love so very much dies, and we don't know what we're going to do the next day. What is my life going to be like? These are times when we can become very fearful. And even as we are very vulnerable in those times and we go to sleep, our dreams are trying to give us some answers. Perhaps there are angels dancing in our heads somehow, and because we are who we are and we lived our lives the way we've lived, our dreams tell us what the answers are. So Joseph wakes up. He's got this feeling inside of him. He says, that's it. I've made up my mind. We're going to get married. We'll bring that child into the world. Because somehow God is telling me that this child is important, is valuable, and so is this Mary to whom I am betrothed. And so much so that this angel told me to name him Jesus. Now, Jesus is a cool name because, after all, it's really not the name Jesus. I mean, we use it that way because it's what's called a Hellenistic or a Greek form of the name Joshua. Joshua is really the name of that person who was born in Bethlehem. His name is Joshua. He would be referred to in town as Joshua bar Joseph. Joshua, the son of Joseph. Maybe it would be Joshua, Joseph's son. Something like that. But you see, Joshua, who was he? He was this man who was Moses' right hand. And when they came to the River Jordan and they saw the promised land just to the other side, and for reasons we won't go into right now, Moses was forbidden to enter the promised land. He turns to Joshua, his most treasured advisor and leader, and he hands the people of Israel over to him. And he says, lead them across. And so it is Joshua who takes the nation of Israel, just emerging from the slavery in Egypt and their wanderings in the desert 40 years. It is Joshua who leads them across the river into the promised land. So when this baby in Bethlehem is named Joshua, that becomes his patron. That becomes the image of his life. He is going to lead the people of God across boundaries and obstacles into the promises of God. No longer is it simply leading a people across a river into a territory. Now it is leading us. Leading us from this world across the barriers that keep us away from the promises of God that we call heaven, that we call the kingdom of God. It is Joshua, it is this Jesus who will save us from sin and death. It is this Jesus who tells us the thing we fear the most, dying, need not fill us with fear anymore, because it is simply the passage from this life to the promises of God. It is like going from one side of the Jordan River to the other, and we arrive in the promised land. That is what is in Joseph's dream. This boy, this son of his, will lead his people home. That's the importance of this child. And Joseph gets it. Joseph decides, I will not expose Mary to the rigors of the law. No, I will take her to be my wife. This child will be born. We will nurture this child. We will raise this child. And this child will do mighty works in the name of our God. That's what this story is about. So, do you listen to your dreams? Do you look at them and realize that maybe God is speaking to you? And even if we don't think of it that way, do you realize that they're really about you? And maybe sometimes we could find the answers to some of our deepest difficulties by simply looking at our dreams, becoming true dreamers. Because dreams help us become who we are. That what we did as a parish 3 years ago when we did all of the Vision 2020 dreaming. Remember the great dream, El Gran Sorano, that we were going to do this wonderful dream. And we're going to be asked to do that again as we go forward. What are our dreams? Because once we know them, we can live into them. We can become them. So it is. But today we hear about this dream that Joseph has because he is truly righteous. And righteousness is not simply following the law. Righteousness is simply doing the right thing. And so God is calling us to do the same. How will this child being born in a stable in a tiny little town make a difference in our world this day? Not just in the past, but now. How will this child that is living in our hearts and minds, who is ready to lead us across every barrier and every obstacle into life everlasting, how will this child change us and transform us so that we can go out into the world and tell others this good news, that we can be the angels of God? Not flying around on wings and singing songs. Well, you can do that, it's fine. But that we are always bringing good news. And we tell the world, no matter how chaotic it is, do not be afraid. Because our God is with us.